I've got a picture of people lining up for petrol in India. And what would happen if I was to tell you that just down the road there, there's a petrol station and it's selling petrol at 10 cents a litre. 10 cents a litre, okay? Except only till 10:30, so you just got to get there, sorry. 10 cents a litre, and it's doing it all day for 24 hours, starting, you know, probably as soon as lunch is finished here, okay? 10 cents a litre, what would you do? You'd probably fill up yourself, but would you get on the phone? Would you ring someone? Would you tell someone else about it? Will you tell some of your friends? Maybe some of your family? Those people who are a bit short of a buck at the moment and might need it, and that'd be really helpful for them. 10 cents a litre, that's probably what it used to be back in the 1960s or something, wasn't it? I shouldn't have said that. 10 cents a litre. That's good news, isn't it? And we want to share it with the world. We have something better than petrol is 10 cents a litre. When we come here and we celebrate what God has done in our lives, when we celebrate at Easter time, we've got this cross here which is full of flowers because Jesus is not dead on the cross, but he rose again for us. Our sins are wiped clean. There is new life that can be found in Christ, new hope. It's better than 10 cents a litre for petrol. But when it comes to sharing it with others, what do we do? Do we keep it to ourselves? Do we go, I hope that people find out about Jesus somehow through the way that I live, and maybe someone should really tell someone about them? How are we at sharing the gospel? Why do we share the gospel? This is what this series is going to be talking about for the next 5 weeks, about the E word. What's the E word? Evangelism, yeah, evangelism. Sharing the good news with others, evangelism. And now for many, you hear evangelism and you're scared off for it. Why? Partly maybe bad experiences. Maybe you think, is Benji going to really tell me to go out in the streets and knock on people's doors and do some really strange, weird things or be out in Rundle Mall or maybe out in Burnside Village there, just outside where they have coffee, and they order their coffee and then they hear someone telling them about Jesus and how their sins need to be forgiven. I don't really want to do that, you might be thinking. Well, I'll get to that in a moment. Okay. But I hope that when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to being a witness, sharing the gospel with others, it's a bit like sharing the news that there's 10 cents for petrol, but even better than that. Why should we be motivated for it? Not because, you know, the church is kind of dwindling in numbers and we need more people to fill our pews. That's not a good reason to share the gospel. It is a reason. I think probably the best reason is because we had the best news that can give life to someone. And if you really love others the way that God loved the world and loves the world, then out of love, wouldn't you want the best for that person? Wouldn't you want the best for your neighbors and your family and your friends? And if you want the best for them, then wouldn't you want them to know about Jesus? Wouldn't you want them to have a relationship with Jesus? That's the best news in the world, isn't it? So we're motivated by love. That's what God is motivated by at the cross. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. We know that message. And then at the end of Matthew's gospel, what does it say? It says that Jesus gives this great commission. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of just the people in your family, and that's it? No, of all nations. That was quite remarkable at that time, because up until then, and if you read the story of God working with people, it's all about the Israelites up until then. He's kind of been just concentrating on his own little family there. But at that point, it's like exploding. The message of the gospel is for all nations, all people, even us in this place a long way away from where that message was being said way back in Israel. That's a long way away from here, from Adelaide, isn't it? So this is part of the All Nations. This is part of the Great Commission that Jesus gives us. So we're looking at this for the next series. And if you think about evangelism, and Mike Frost talks about this, there's kind of like two blades of scissors, a pair of scissors that need to work together. There are the gifted evangelists, those who can just, back in the old, I know a guy who, back in the old days when they used to have video stores, he would be able to just walk in a video store and they'd be looking at video stores and he'd be chatting to the next person next to him. And by the end of that conversation, they maybe walked out with a video, maybe not, but that person had become a Christian, the person that he'd talked. That's a gifted evangelist. This is the same person who would, if he bought a plane ticket to fly to, say, Melbourne, he would pray, "Lord, please place me next to someone. Everyone else is going, please place me not next to anyone. I want a seat by myself, please. I like space. I just want to lay out and go to sleep, and I don't want to have to worry about spilling coffee on the person next to me or anything." But he would say, "Please place me next to someone so that I can share the gospel with them." And so he'd get excited when there's just like someone sitting there, they're reading a book. "Oh, look, I'm reading a book too. It's the Bible. Let me tell you about the Bible." That's a gifted evangelist. Someone who's okay with that word, evangelism, is probably a gifted evangelist. And there might, I hope and I trust that there are people here. They need to be encouraged and prayed for. It says in the passage that we had read out that Paul's writing and he says, "Please pray for me. Pray that I'll be able to share the gospel clearly to others and do it boldly as well." And that's what we should be praying for. I'm going to ask boldly here, is there anyone who in this congregation would say that they've got a gift of evangelism or they would like to explore that gift? Hands up. Come on, show us where you are. I'm going to put my hand up because it's me. All right. Okay, we've got three here. Okay, please pray for us and pray for more of us. We need more of us here. That means the rest of us are in the other pair of the scissors, the other blade of the scissors, which is you are being witnesses to Christ every day in the way that you live. Just as Nirmal said here, that Christian family and a place where there weren't many Christians in that community, people saw something different about them, about the way they lived. And then when that difference kind of happens, you live what's called questionable lives. Questionable not as in morally questionable, but questionable as in there's something different about that person, Nirmal, and I wonder what it is. And perhaps I should ask him, why are they smiling and hopeful when stuff doesn't seem very hopeful right now? What is the reason for the hope that you have, Nirmal? And Nirmal needs to be prepared to be able to give that answer. "Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, this wonderful relationship that you can have." So this next series is talking more, not for the gifted evangelists, which is good because otherwise I'd just be talking to three of us here in the congregation, but about everyone else, okay? How to live questionable lives in our community. It's called Surprising the World. Okay, I really like this photo. I thought it was good. We should live in a way that makes everyone go, "Whoa, what's going on here?" Our neighbours should be going, "Whoa, hang on, this isn't normal. This isn't the way that we're taught to live. This isn't the way that a consumerist person should live in a Western society." It's quite a funny photo, isn't it? I'll move it on because it is quite distracting for me, but I like it. So the way that this is going to be done for the next 5 weeks is really easy, okay, to remember. It's bells. Can everyone say bells? Bells, all right. How do you spell bells? B-E-L-L-S, okay? That's all you, well, you, it's not all you need to remember, but you need to then remember what they all stand for. B-E-L-L-S, and there are five habits that we should have as Christians to live a kind of missional life, something that is surprising for the world around us, for the people around us. And these are habits, not just one-offs, okay? There's a difference between kind of a one-off, Janji gave a sermon about blessing others, so we should do it this week. No, it's a habit that continues on. And a lot of this stuff, I know you already do. I have seen it in action. And it's great to be part of it. I do enjoy being part of Burnside City because of it. So I'll just go through these five, and then I'm going to talk particularly about bless in this sermon here, not for very long. So bless is, I will bless three people this week, at least one of whom is not a member of our church. E is for eat. I will eat with three people this week, at least one of whom is not a member of the church. How is eating with people going to change the world, surprise the world? We'll talk about that later. Listen, I will spend at least one period of the week listening to the Spirit's voice. Learn, I will spend at least one period of the week learning Christ. And sense, I will journal through the week about all the ways I alerted others to the universal reign of God through Christ. That's where we're heading, okay? They're the five actions that we're going to be doing. They are habits, but they're based on values, Christian values, and you will see them throughout the gospel. To live generous lives, generous as in we don't have our stuff for ourselves, but we actually are really generous with who we are, with our time, with our resources for those around us in surprising ways. We live generous lives, we live hospitable lives. Hospitality is a great gift of Christianity. And hospitality is about seeing the other person as Christ. Here is Christ amongst us, let's be hospitable to them. Being Spirit-led, listening to the Spirit, being Christ-like, learning who Jesus is, and being missionaries. Missionaries even in our own hometown. Okay, that's the values that we're going to be living out. Imagine if every single person sitting in these chairs here today, and the kids as well, imagine if people said of them, they're from Burnside City. They are generous, hospitable, Spirit-led, Christ-like missionaries. Can you imagine what that would look like for us? Can you imagine how many more chairs we would need to put out? As that is such an attractive kind of thing for our society right now. It surprises the world. Babies will come out and go, whoa, what's going on here? That's where I hope that we can lead. And I'm not to say that this doesn't happen already, okay? I think it is. But let's make this a habit and be intentional about it. Okay, so the first one is bless. And as I said, I won't go too much longer about this. Bless each other. And I've got an interesting picture there. I was wrestling with what kind of image I wanted to show for bless. And I've got a little girl pushing someone from on their bike, teaching them how to ride the bike, being a blessing to the other. I think that's quite a good image of what is being encompassed here. Now, the word bless has a number of different meanings and translations. It means quite a broad number of things when it comes to the Bible. You've got an old Germanic word that it comes from, blutison, which is to hallow by the sprinkling with blood. So there's something separating, consecrating that's happening there. You also get the word bless, meaning I lost my place here. There's a more generous meaning of the Latin benedictory, which is to speak well of or praise. But also bless being a state of God's grace or favor, that this person or thing is being set aside for God. So you've got, for example, Jesus blesses the bread before he breaks it. Jesus blesses the children. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of blessing so much. It's not Jesus bless the children by giving them all ice creams. I'm talking more of a blessing. So that is part of what blessing is about. But when it comes to this, for the Bell stuff about your missional habit, it's about being generous. It is probably a better translation, and a better word to use would be something like encouraging or build up or lift up. Mike Frost talks about a translation being that to give strength to one's arm is to bless, to give strength to one's arm. So it's about the little actions of love that you might do for one another. That kind of bless. I know there has been a group here at Burnside City that has been looking at God's blessings and being and blessing others, and that's in a more spiritual way. This is in a very practical, loving kind of way. I think in some ways that the B that's being used is probably a bit forced, okay, so it could fit in that with that bells. And if I was to have my way, if there was a way that the word encourage could start with a B, then that would be great. But courage doesn't sound like anything, does it? So encourage. There's a passage here from 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. What are some examples of this? I had a friend in Tumby Bay who's a pastor there, and he's the AUG pastor. And before I really got to know him, he just had met me a couple of times. But he knew my number, he knew where I lived, and he would sometimes he would drive into Port Lincoln to get shopping and those other things. And he kept doing this thing where he'd ring me up and he'd say, look, I'm coming into Lincoln, I'm just going through Macca's, would you like anything? I'm like, well, and I'm sitting there going, I'd really like a coffee right now, but I don't really have time to make it. And then I'm also thinking, hang on, if he comes over with a coffee, he's probably going to sit there and like we're going to have a conversation for an hour and a half, and then I'm going to be really behind in my work, which is fine, but it'd be nice, but really need to get the work done. But then he adds, now, I'm just going to drop it off. No, if you want anything, you can have it, but if you don't, that's fine. Me and my wife like to be a blessing to others. So I said, oh, coffee would be great. He comes in, knocks on the door, gives me a coffee, see you later. That was a great blessing. And he kept doing this every now and then. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. Doing something that is a bit surprising. Being generous with what God has given you. It says to do it with someone within your own, within the church, so within your family, for example. And it might be words of encouragement. Okay, it's for every... when I do marriage prep, one of the things that we're taught to say is that for every word that you say to someone that is negative, like, you know, you really should have done this instead of that, that it takes 12 words of encouragement to build them up again. And I don't think we do that enough within our own families, in our own relationships. It's much easier to tear each other down than to build each other up. So words of encouragement, might be little gifts, might be little acts of love. It might be follow-up from a conversation that you've had. Like you're having a conversation with someone about an issue that they're going through and you know about a book that could be helpful for them. And the next time you see them, you give them the book. What does that say to that person? It says, oh, they actually remember that conversation. They've been thinking about it during the week. They care about me. I'm encouraged by that. Encourage someone from also outside of your family within the other ministry areas. And I said this before at the congregational meeting. I've been singing with the choir a little bit and joining. I love that way that they actually do bless each other. They care about each other. They have a great love for each other. They're concerned pastorally for each other too. And they do love each other's company and singing with each other. I see the blessing that's going on in there. I'd encourage the choir and I'd encourage every single other group to look at some of the other groups that are happening in the church and spread that blessing to others. Does that make sense? And then to actually go outside of the walls of our church to the neighbours. Maybe mow someone's lawn or whatever it is. Be a blessing to other people in the street. To complete strangers. Imagine what would happen if we all lived that kind of life. If just this week we each bless someone three times. Not someone, the same person, that means they'll be over-blessed. but each of us blessed three different people. Just imagine what kind of difference that would make. We would end up with a baby, and I'll go back to here, just because I like that photo. Whoa! So let me pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for the life that we have. Thank you for the truth you bring us, for the grace. Lord, help that love to be a love that overflows and a message that overflows. Lord, encourage us in these next few weeks to really work out how we're going to answer someone when we live these questionable lives. Give us boldness, give us courage. And Lord, in this moment, and as we sing our next song as well, Holy Spirit, help us to bring to mind people that we could bless within the church and outside as well. Give us the strength and the energy to do so. And that spirit of generosity, just as you are a generous God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come and sing our final song. And I would love you all to think about what I've just talked about. Some very practical things. How can we bless other people this week? Talk about it while we have lunch and morning tea. Share with others what you think might be a good way to do it. Or maybe some stories of how you have been blessed by others.